You and Me and BPD, Season 4, Episode 2. Can BPD be cured? Using the word cured very loosely here. Today, we're going to be talking about, can BPD be cured? Can it be forgotten? Can we heal? Can we eventually not live with this disorder? And I use the word cured here because when many people think about, you know, mental health disorders, or they just think about a disorder that you might have, right? Like, you often think when people are sick, especially from a, let's just say from a physical illness, you have, virus, and suddenly you're cured. You don't have that virus anymore. Well, when we talk about curing mental illness, it really kind of negates the actual perspective of what is mental illness. What does it mean to be mentally ill? To live with a condition that you experience daily and that can be very hard to manage. And I think when people ask, can BPD be cured? I think the main thing that they think of is, can I one day not experience this amount of dysregulation and disorder that I experience? And that's why even asking the question of, can you cure a mental illness, especially BPD, which is a personality disorder first and foremost, it's like, I find that to be such a strange question, because it's like, can you cure your personality? And fundamentally, you can't, because your personality is an amalgamation of everything that you've experienced in life. And seeing as the fact that even the roots of BPD and what it means to have BPD are so kind of all over the place. Some people will say, and I've talked about this before, some people will say that it comes from childhood trauma. And I think that that has a really big impact on it, because depending on how you were treated as a child, through, you know, not receiving the amount of love that you needed, or through going through really traumatic experiences, or having an avoidant parent who wasn't able to parent you properly, well, then you're going to start to develop this personality that is maybe a little bit more abrasive, or develop a personality of needing to be outspoken or needing to be heard or whatever else it might be. And when we think about the very fundamentals of how a personality is developed, of how child development happens, you can't suddenly cure something that has taken your whole life to develop. So when we ask the question of, can BPD be cured? I think fundamentally the answer is no. And that might seem very harsh. And it might seem like, you know, there's nothing left to go from there, because if an answer is no, that seems very definite. But I think if we rephrase the question from cured to, can it be managed? Can we live a happy life with BPD? Can we learn how to handle ourselves and our emotional reactions to things? Then yes, overwhelmingly yes. But can it be cured to the point that you no longer experience any type of mental health condition or any type of emotional fluctuation that you might experience with BPD? I don't think so. So, question A, can BPD be cured? Answer, no. So then what do we do with that information? I think a lot of people hear that and automatically they go into like this kind of victim mindset of, I will never be cured. I will never be able to handle myself. And that's where we're going to kind of focus the conversation is, okay, if it can't be cured, then what can we do with it? And in the kind of way that we talk about mental illness, a lot of people talk about remission and recovery. And I think those are two important aspects. So if somebody told you that they were an addict, for instance, and they were in recovery, then you would understand that they are attempting to get their addiction under control. So if somebody said, I am a person living with BPD and I am in recovery, then that would give you a little bit more of an understanding of, oh, okay, this is a person who has acknowledged that they have something going on with them and they're attempting to hit a point where they no longer experience the negative side effects of that. I've had friends who are addicts and they say that no matter how much they've been in recovery, no matter how much they might stop doing the thing that they're addicted to, they will always be an addict. And I think for me, at my point in life where I am right now, I don't experience the intense ups and downs that I used to experience. And I don't experience it necessarily on a daily level. It's a slightly different experience of my mental health, but I would still consider myself to always be a person who lives with BPD. And I would say that I am in recovery. And from a diagnostic perspective, there might be, if I was able to go see a therapist or a psychiatrist, they might even say I'm in remission. So when we talk about recovery, that is the road map to remission. And remission from BPD is generally characterized to be understood as no longer meeting the diagnostic criteria. So as we've talked about multiple times, there are 9 diagnostic criteria for BPD. And when you no longer meet those diagnostic criteria, then you would be considered to be in remission. Recovery is when you only meet 2 of those diagnostic criteria. So recovery is the roadmap that you take to hopefully, if that's the path you're on, eventually lead to remission of BPD, which is where you still have BPD, like it's still a part of you, but it's just not as present. And maybe it's not impacting your life anymore. So when we look at research around this, there are 2 specific studies that I think are really important to mention. One is a 2015 study. It was called The Lifetime Course of BPD by Robert S. Biskin. And so one of the main things that this study showed us is that people with BPD, for the most part, they experience emotional distress, self-harming tendencies, maybe suicidal ideation, at a young age, usually in adolescence, so around 12 to 14 years. And it's not until people are about 18 or 19 that they begin to be diagnosed with BPD. And so what this shows us is that there is a correlation between the ways that young people learn how to manage their emotional distress and leading into a BPD diagnosis. But what this study also showed is that for the most part, BPD improves over a long period of time, which is made possible with increased therapeutic support, Meaning, this study specifically looked at people who had been hospitalized or people who had been put into treatment programs, and it looked at the way that these treatment programs help to utilize a kind of whole body or holistic therapeutic experience for these people. And over the course of, I think one of the main part of the study took place over the course of 20 years, it showed that remission is possible, although there are things called recurrence rates, where after you've experienced a remission of anywhere from 2 to 8 years, it can have a recurrence rate, which means that something can happen in your life which triggers the part of your brain that kind of is in control of your emotional regulation skills, or you might have something terrible happen to you and then you fall back into all of the same kind of instances of you're emotionally dysregulated. You might start to, it could happen because you lose your job, you know, and you start to feel even more overwhelmed with stress and you don't know how to handle it, so you fall back into using substances that you're not supposed to, and then you develop a dependency, and then you end up self-harming again, or you go through a state where you don't know who you are anymore and you're experiencing the fluctuations in emotional regulation. And so essentially what this 2015 study showed is that remission typically happens over a longer period of time, and there are recurrence rates which end up happening for about 10% of the population of people with BPD, which means you might feel like you're fine. You might not even meet the diagnostic standards anymore. And then something happens, maybe a fluctuation happens in your life, things essentially fall apart, and you're back into this kind of really distressing mental state. And it might even feel like you're back at stage one. And so when we talk about curing BPD, and giving people this kind of hope that they will never experience the negative side effects of this disorder that they might be experiencing right now, we have to understand that about 10% of the time, recurrence occurs. And that might mean that you've gone a decade or you've gone longer. These studies that have been done that kind of form the foundation of what we know about BPD take place over a very long time, and the point of doing these kind of longitudinal studies is to try to figure out how does this disorder change and in what ways can we understand the changes that this disorder takes throughout our life. A second study that was done more recently was called the Lived Experiences of Recovery in BPD. It's a qualitative study where essentially the researchers, the team of researchers that worked on it, they met with people who, one, had been suggested to have BPD. They went through the diagnostic criteria with them. They essentially sorted them into different groups within how much BPD is affecting them. And then they gave them therapeutic tools. They worked with them on their interpersonal relationships. They worked with them on understanding and acknowledging their emotions and learning about what they can control and what they can't control. And then they, after a period of time of working with these people, they went back to the diagnostic criteria and they wanted to see whether or not people were in recovery. And according to this study, about 50% of the people that they worked with experienced recovery over the course of 10 years. Meaning, it took a long time. It took a long time for people to finally be able to open themselves up to the possibility of recovery. And what they acknowledged in this kind of study, in this 2019 study, was that there are different steps which have to occur in the recovery process for BPD. The number one thing that happens, and this kind of happens across the board, is this feeling of being stuck. Once you acknowledge that feeling and you begin to explore, you know, therapy, and maybe you even start to find out about BPD, the second step is diagnosis. And that's one of the reasons why I speak so much on this podcast about diagnosis. Because one of the key things that they found in recovery is once you find out that you have BPD, once you reach this step of diagnosis, then you can begin to learn from the people around you, and you can find support in more specific ways through therapy, through group therapy, through DBT therapy or EDMR, like all of these different pathways open up to you. But a key thing in the diagnosis is you understanding that you are living with this disorder. Because sometimes, especially in this 2019 study, they found that it could take around 15 years for people to go from the feeling of being stuck, the feeling of not knowing what's going on with them, to finally receiving a diagnosis. And as much as it might be really hard for you wherever you are living to receive a diagnosis because of socioeconomic reasons, because of a lack of availability, because of not having access to people who properly understand what they're diagnosing, it is an important and intangible thing to walk in the world knowing that you are not alone. And part of what diagnosis does is it tells you, you belong to these group of people who live with this disorder. And once you kind of take that first step of really acknowledging it and saying, I'm not just going to think that it's just me and I'm just crazy or I'm just like insane, I'm actually going to go through the steps of going through a diagnostic process, then you can move into the third stage, which they identified as improving experience. And what they mean by that is you can begin to go through the motions of understanding your emotions and understanding the role of interpersonal relationships. And also, you can be given a little bit more hope because you start to look around you and you start to see people who say, yeah, I have BPD and I have a job. I have BPD and I have a relationship, or I have children, or I'm married, or whatever it is that you feel like you can't do because of BPD. And the road to recovery takes a long time. And I think that's where fundamentally people get really caught up on the, like, can BPD be cured? And how long is it going to take? And we live in a society where so many people want things overnight. They find out that they have a condition and they want it to be cured immediately. They think, oh, I'm just going to take a pill and suddenly I'm going to feel better. And it's a process. What these two studies show is that it is a lifelong, for many of us, a lifelong process of learning and evaluating and coming to terms with not only where we are going in the future, but where we've come from. I've been making this podcast now for 4 years, essentially. I started in 2020 around May, and it's now 2023. And before that, I got diagnosed in 2016 for the first time. And then I got re-diagnosed in 2019, and then I got re-diagnosed in 2021. And the process of going through these stages of, you know, going through the grief of getting diagnosed with something that I had no clue about, learning about the stigmatization of this disorder, finally beginning to find a therapist I could work with, and really starting to speak about my past and where I had come from. All of this took a lot of time, and it took a lot of effort on my behalf. I was on antidepressants, I was in therapy, I was doing a whole bunch of emotion wheels and a whole bunch of worksheets and reading books, and I started to meditate and do yoga and all of these kind of holistic ways that I started to learn how to take care of myself. But it took a lot of energy, and it still takes a lot of energy. In many ways, I think I would be considered to be in recovery or even in remission for BPD. I no longer experience the almost daily roller coaster ride of not knowing who I am or feeling misunderstood about when I'm speaking or kind of getting confused about where I am headed and what type of person I want to be. And on the flip side, I also experience a lot less of the anger, and I still have a little bit of impulse issues, which I am very aware of, and I've talked about having a shopping addiction before and, you know, wanting that dopamine rush of just doing something that I know I shouldn't be doing. But that kind of core question of who am I has become such an expansive question to me that it's not even a thing I think about anymore. And I've reached this point in my BPD journey where I no longer feel so overwhelmed with this mental illness. I still experience bad days, and there are still some days where I find myself spiraling, or I still experience intense feelings of emptiness and numbness. And one of the things that I've learned is that that is being human. And I still experience, this is why it's such a confusing world to be in, because I still experience a disconnection, a dissociation from my place in the world and who I think I am and who I want to be, and past me, who has done horrible things that I think are horrible, but really in the grand scheme of things aren't actually horrible, but I just carry so much guilt from them. So it's a very confusing world when you know you have a mental illness, you've lived with this mental illness for a long time, but you might not experience as much of your mental illness as you used to. And I think that sometimes people get really scared of that. They get really scared that things are going to go wrong at any point in time. I mean, I read these rates of recurrence and I go, oh my God, maybe if something went bad, if I lost my job, if my marriage fell apart, if whatever happened, I might experience a horrible time and I might experience all of the negative emotions that I used to experience. But I'm not going to be living in fear of that, because fundamentally what I've learned is that you have to live your life where you are. And whether you're just starting your mental health journey and you're in the stages of, like that 2019 study said, being stuck, feeling stuck, trying to figure out, well, how do I go about getting diagnosed? I mean, I've already made a podcast episode about that, but if you're starting to wonder, then you're at least in the first initial stages, and you have to give yourself some grace for that. You have to provide yourself some space to say, I am going as hard as it is, I'm going to try. And if you are in the process of getting diagnosed, or you just received a diagnosis, and now maybe you're hearing all of these horrible things about BPD, or you're on social media and you're reading about, this is how BPD manifests, and I always feel overwhelmed, and I don't know what to do about it, and the whole world hates me, and all these different things. Just acknowledge that you're here, and you have the diagnosis, and it's a part of you. And as hard as it might be to accept that, it's a starting place. And for those of you who are on the path of recovery, who have been going at this mental health thing for years, maybe you feel like you've been trying so gosh darn hard and nothing gets easier. I can't promise you that things are going to be perfect. And in reality, I don't think anything is ever perfect. I think everybody struggles with their emotions and knowing who they are. I think that's just a part of being human. But if you're on this road to recovery and you're starting to therapy, or you've been doing therapy for a very long time and you're starting to feel like maybe I need to try something different, I encourage you to explore other possible things. Because for me, I reached a point in my therapy journey where I felt like I couldn't learn anything else from anyone else. And I had to start looking at some of the ways that I treated myself and that people in my life treated me. And one of the key things was I had to acknowledge my emotions. I had felt anger for so long, and I had felt hurt for so long, and I had felt this kind of chronic emptiness for so long that I needed to step back and say, what do I do when these feelings come up? And really work through it, you know? Like, I had to work through it. And for me, that was through meditation. Other people do it in a physical way, and they really push themselves into their, you know, working out or their fitness or their health, whatever it might be. But I think that there are many paths to recovery. And some people need that inpatient treatment. Some people need to be given a break from their life and be able to spend time with other people who are also in recovery. And that's perfectly fine. The paths that we take to better understanding ourselves, to come closer to remission, to come closer to not experiencing the daily agony that is this disorder, because it is agonizing, is our own journey. I hope that even though I might have started this episode with being very definite, I hope that you can understand where I'm coming from. Because I don't want you to walk away from this with a false sense of, I will experience a day where I will never feel sad. I will never feel depressed. I will never feel the ache within me. Because for some of us, most of us, it's still there. It's still very real. It's still a part of us. And we have to work a little bit harder. And as unfair as that might seem, as much as you might want to scream at the world and say, why me? Why do I have to do it? Why must I be the one to undertake this? I don't know. I don't know why we have to be the ones. I don't know why we have to experience trauma and heartache in our life and carry that with us. And I don't know why our parents had to treat us this way. I don't know why we had to have such tumultuous childhoods. And I'm not going to tell you it's for a reason, because I personally don't believe that. I just think it is that way. And we can't do very much about it. We can't do very much about our past. except for accept it, embrace it, allow it to represent the past, and look towards where we are now and what we can do to make ourselves feel better. Fundamentally, this whole curable remission, recovery, whatever it is that you want to call it, this whole thing is just about getting us to a place where we can live and not feel like we want to die all the time. And maybe if you do feel like that all the time, at least find ways to find joy in your life, because we're living. And if that's all that we continue to do, well, then at least we've done something good for ourselves. I hope that you learned something from this. In the description below, I'll link to the two studies I talked about if you want to read them for yourself, if you're a nerd like me and you're always researching this type of stuff and you find it interesting. And I hope you know that you can reach out to me on my Instagram. This was an episode idea I came up with, and I asked on an Instagram poll, and overwhelmingly people wanted to know the answer to this, and people were interested in this topic. If you want to reach out, if you have anything to say, if you disagree with me, that's fine. You can message me there and we'll talk. And I hope you know that I am rooting for you. At whatever stage you're on, I hope you know that you're not alone. And there are thousands upon millions of people out there who are in your shoes. They might not be exactly the same. They might not look like you. They might not even live in your own little town or state or wherever you are. But they are out there, and I am out here, and I wish you nothing but the best. I hope you feel empowered to take the steps to finally just give yourself some rest, to really feel like you don't need to push yourself so hard. Because it's a journey. It's all a path. And fundamentally, we're all taking our time, reaching a place where we can just allow ourselves to breathe a little bit more. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.